Hey, welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, thank you very much for the experience. The questions you asked really helped guide me, you know, following a certain path to understand deeper about what I do and then even kind of understand some of the things I even never thought of before, the question you asked. So that was such a good experience.
Hi, it's Monday and it's Nancy. I'm mentoring. And today, Dominique Jones, formerly known as Dominique Scott, is in the studio. Actually, our studio is over at the MEDA office. MEDA is Metropolitan Economic Development Association. The purpose of the Metropolitan Economic Development Center, their mission is really to bridge the gap between economic disparity, right? Make sure the money's getting to the right places and that entrepreneurs, minority entrepreneurs, are getting their fair share of the piece to provide themselves a good livelihood and be participate fully in our economy.
Yep, and to just continue to help them to grow their businesses as well to $1 million or more is our ultimate goal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Excellent. So, like I said, Dominique Jones, formerly known as Dominique Scott, she's the program manager at the Metropolitan Economic Development Association. Prior to coming to MEDA, she was a business owner of Drop and Shop, a child entertainment center located in the Mall of America, which we talked about in our first conversation. Dominique also worked as a business process analyst and project manager for United Health Group. Dominique holds a master's in business administration in management information systems, finance and project management from Metropolitan State University, and a Bachelor of Arts in Legal Studies, International Management and Social Justice Law concentration from Hamline University. So Dominique also currently oversees the MEDA Mini MBA program, which offers business fundamentals and growth strategies to ethnic minority entrepreneurs. And her and I met at the Small Business Association. They also have programs for emerging growth companies. And Dominique asked me to come in and fill in a spot in part of your Mini MBA program. And that's how we kind of connected. And as we got to talking, I said, well, you would be great on the podcast and people need to know more about you. So here you are and we're making it happen. And so in our first conversation, we talked about a lot of different things, but you really grew up, you described yourself as growing up in a nurturing and very stable home with your mom and your stepfather, and your stepfather provided the military structure in the home.
Yes, he did.
Oh, and you've got a lot of siblings, as a collective group of different families, all 11 siblings you grew up with. So lots of activities. What were some of the funnest things you did as a family?
Well, traveling. I really and still do that to this day, but we traveled a lot. My stepfather was employed with Northwest Airlines, which is now Delta. And so we had great traveling benefits and was able to travel quite often. And that was just such a great experience to be able to just see so many different places. But aside from that, I really enjoyed Saturdays when we went bowling. As a family, we were on a bowling tournament, and every Saturday, it would be my mom, my stepdad, some of my siblings. We would bowl, and it was just nice to be able to interact with my parents in such a fun environment, so I looked forward to that every week.
Oh, wow. Do you have any fun activities that you do with your family?
Yes, we go to the movies a lot. I'm a movie buff, and I think I've turned my kids and my husband into one as well. I remember one time, well, just recently, my husband and I, we had a... Where we were in, I think, Florida, and we had, our flight was like scheduled for later that evening. So we had like a whole day of nothing to do. And so we went to the movies, and I think we watched about 3 or 4 movies that day, like back to back, and we just loved it. So that's our favorite pastime.
Okay. Oh, that's so cool. And your mom, she was is a minister.
Yes.
And she also owns Love Communicates.
Yes.
And she provides communication to Love Communication, to helping people communicate more effectively.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Trying to build relationships through communication. So
there we go.
Yep.
Yeah, excellent. And you took a mind-blowing emotional intelligence class recently.
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
It was just very timely because I feel like that's one thing I just never have gotten a full understanding around is just how we deal with our emotions. There's something, you know, they're there. They're never going to go away. And there's so many different types. It's like, how do you deal with them? And to really be able to sit there and have like a process and a strategy around managing emotions, I was like, wow, and this, you can use it anywhere in the workplace, in your, you know, marriage, you know, your personal relationships.
Yeah.
It's just so beneficial. And so it was one of the best trainings I've ever had. So.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, and you can apply it like right away. That's what's
right
so wonderful
away.
About it.
Yes, I was just so excited. I was sharing notes with my husband, and he's like, you got it. Because my husband is really good with, I would say, a lot better than I am with managing his emotions and very patient. And me, I'm just kind of high strung and, you know, very emotional and kind of sometimes can be all over the place. And he's just completely opposite from me. So I was like, you balance me out. But, you know, a lot of the things, techniques he learned when he took an emotional intelligence course, his is a little more extensive than mine. And so he said, yeah, it really changed him. And he was able to apply it and continue to apply it throughout all the years. So.
Oh, it's really great to hear. And we need to make sure that it gets expanded.
Yes.
Yeah, because I know that, you know, with the roller coaster that we go through as business owners, you know, things working out and you're on a high and then they come crashing down, or the influx of cash flow fluctuations and influx and outgoing and just trying to keep on top of everything and how the economy is going and how people's habits change.
I know. It's
where they get communication. And so managing our emotions and being able to observe them from a different perspective and even name them, you know, that takes a lot of practice.
It does. And self-awareness.
Yeah. Well, it's really great that your husband has had the training too.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I was always, when I was like, oh, I just always admired the way he was just like, even with the kids, he's just so much better with them than I am, I feel like. And now I see, okay, you got some training around this.
Yeah.
Now I feel like, okay, I'm better.
Okay, it's the training.
Exactly, yes. Okay.
I can get the training and now I can
do
this.
I can match you.
Yeah. Well, and with kids, you know, it's so tricky, you know, like with conflict. How do you work through that?
Yes.
And how do you do it in a way that everybody feels heard, respected,
right,
and that they have a piece in, you know, figuring out the next steps.
Yes, exactly. And growing up in a home, you know, with a militant father figure, you don't really learn to deal with your emotions. It was very just, things were structured and processed, and that's all you knew. And you just knew to be well-mannered and how to behave. And, you know, so never really dealt with emotions and learned how to deal with emotions growing up in my home.
I think it was a lot of homes were kind of more structured, and it was, the view of the parent was not, I don't know, I felt like with my, well, in the generation of my parents, I just feel like we're getting the training now.
Right.
Because it's there. It wasn't there or talked about
exactly.
Or taught.
Yeah.
And so there was kind of certain parents, I mean, you would either be super structured or no structure.
Too loose, yeah.
And now, you know, this generation and the upcoming ones, hopefully will be trying to be more in the middle, where kids are empowered to use their voices and to have a say in the rules of the house.
Yeah, because the old way of doing things just doesn't work for this new generation, I believe. And so parents, you know, we can't just go off of what our parents did because that doesn't necessarily work today.
Yeah.
Especially in society has changed a lot since then. And so we have to really, you know, continue to innovate ourselves as parents and really adapt to the changing environment, especially with the new generation.
Yeah. And adjusting as we go. So emotionally, as you go through different developmental stages, you are able to have actually much deeper and richer connections with people.
Yep.
And so our kids are giving us a conduit into, you know, a deeper search for love and and generosity and exploring that with our kids.
Exactly.
Means that we have to like grow emotionally with them because I can't parent my 17-year-old like, you know, like when she was three.
Right, exactly. Oh, very different. She's not even the same person.
Yeah, exactly. And just understanding, too, what's happening in a teen's brain, you know, of like how much a teenager really struggles with decision-making.
I didn't
realize to that degree because we weren't allowed growing up.
I mean,
other people made decisions for us. Or moved you in a certain direction, or you were rebellious and you fought against it. And so I'm going in this direction.
Right, exactly.
You know, heck with you, you know what you're saying.
It's like one extreme to the next.
Yeah, right. But now that we have this brain science to say the prefrontal lobe is really not fully developed.
Right.
And so they're not capable of really making these longer term decisions.
Yes.
So we're like practicing a lot right now about how to give her, give Olivia information and allow her the time she needs to make a decision because she seems to like to take a longer period of time.
Yes.
I'm not. I'm a quicker decision maker.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it is my brain developed or because I remember being younger and also being a quick decision maker.
Right.
And I also got myself into a little bit more trouble than she seems to be because she's thinking it's her.
Right. Exactly.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
That is true. Very true.
Oh, well, that's awesome. That's so great. So in today's conversation, I'd like to, you know, explore a little bit more, too, of your entrepreneurial spirit. And I thought you've got so much experience with entrepreneurship and growing up in an entrepreneurial home that I thought it might be kind of fun to, like, dig into some of the things that work and some of the things that don't work so well in business ownership. Okay. So.
Ready.
Question number one. What's the biggest bookkeeping mistake you've ever made? And did you ever get in trouble for it?
So I would say the biggest one was not keeping track of all of my receipts. So owning my own business.
Yeah, that's a common one.
You know, you're just not as disciplined. Even in my personal life, I don't keep up with the receipts. You know, I throw them away. They get misplaced. And so... Yeah, owning your own business, that's a huge mistake. And having to guess where the money went, how much of it went out, what I spent it on, and was...
Is this during tax time when you're trying to pull the pieces together, or is it just kind of an ongoing thing
paying
bills and things?
I would say where it happened probably the most significantly was when I launched Drop and Shop, and we had to do a lot of the pre-startup costs, and we had to build out the space in the Mall of America. And so,
we
were shopping all
over.
I mean, when I say, because we had to furnish it, we were spending a lot of money, and it was really hard to track where exactly we were spending the money at, because we were just, wherever we could find a bargain, we were getting it, you know, and just not necessarily keeping track of those expenses.
Yeah.
And so our accountant, when it was time to say, okay, well, let's, you know, start working on this, is probably like our quarterly review. So this was after we had been open for about 3 months. And now we have to go back and try to remember where we spent all the money in the startup phase. Because, you know, it was easier to keep track once we were open because we weren't spending as much.
Yeah,
but when
we
were opening, we were spending like crazy and we were not keeping track of all the receipts.
Yeah.
And then we were using different credit cards and sometimes we were using cash. And that was just, it was a mess. And so he really was patient with us and he worked with us to try to piece it together the best that we could. And we got it together, but that was a huge mistake not doing that. And so moving forward, I make sure I keep track of all of my receipts.
Well, you must see that a lot in the mini MBA program.
Yes.
In conversations. What are you seeing as common financial situations that entrepreneurs get in, and how do they get out of them?
So the biggest one I think I've seen is where either they hired a friend to do their accounting for them and not really a CPA. And so their books are just completely off. And when they come, we really get extensive into the financial documents and we tear it apart, basically. And so they really start to see like, oh, this is where where my money's going, or this is, or I don't know where my money's going. I have no clue. And so we've had some that fired their accountants during the program and their so-called accountants and actually hired some real professionals to help them with their books and get it in order. But that was kind of like the biggest thing is that, you know, a lot of folks, you know, CPAs, they can be very expensive.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, entrepreneurs, we try to cut costs as much as we can. And sometimes it can be detrimental. It can be to a fault.
Yeah. Well, I know when I started up, I had an, I always thought, yeah, I'll get a CPA to right away. And so I did. It was a sole proprietor. And she went through this huge depression and didn't file my taxes and didn't tell me. And so then I got in trouble with the IRS. And
I want to get in trouble with the IRS.
I know. And then I totally like freaked out. And anyways, the lesson for me then, what I got myself out of it, you know, paid the penalty.
Right.
But what I learned in the process was that if you're going to hire a CPA firm, make sure that they have a backup. So if something happens, that you can make sure that you get your taxes filed on
time.
That's
great advice,
and it's funny, though, because, you know, then, like, I've never had an issue since then, you know.
Well, yeah, once you go through it, it's like you never got to go through that again.
Right, and it's funny because once you, and I thought, well, this gives me an opportunity really to understand my what is important in my business, but also, more importantly, I, you know, part of me was like, well, maybe I won't have to file taxes this year because I, you know.
Right.
Yes,
I mean, I've made that mistake too, right?
About it, you know, with money stuff.
Right,
you know, you're just like, God. You know,
like I really need to
pay attention all the time. I could have really been on my CPA's tail.
Yeah.
But because it never happened before, I wasn't as attentive with her as I should have been.
Yeah. And so that was a lot of entrepreneurs same
yeah,
way.
Right. Because we're not in the business because of the money.
Right.
I mean, we want to make a good livelihood, but the motivation is not with the money. It's with the work that we're doing. And so bridging the gap between the money part again.
Right. And it can
sure
be intimidating. I mean, trying to really, I mean, those documents are not always very intuitive, easy to understand. And it just can be intimidating for entrepreneurs to even look at it.
You know, I've been on several church finance committees and led them. And no one wants to be on the finance committee. You know,
right.
I mean, like, no one likes talking about the money.
No, I mean, that's what's so funny. Like, you know, it's like, wow, that's kind of the most important part of running your business is really knowing your finances.
Yeah, really staying on top of them. And, yeah. Well, in Oprah, you know, as much money as she's made, she always signed all of her checks. I'm like,
oh,
you're
wow.
kidding.
She wasn't complaining about that.
No, but she said that there are so many decisions that she makes. When she was running the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what's happening now. I'm sure she's got her hands all in everything.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But she's dealing with such huge numbers. But I was thinking, well, how does she keep track? But she said she keeps track of all the decisions she's making.
Okay,
and so
right.
when you don't see them quite right in the finances, and, you know, a lot of people get a lot of wealth and then they stop paying attention.
Right.
And so that's when you get taken advantage of.
Yep, exactly.
So anyway,
she's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, just she's always been a great role model for me.
Yeah, me too.
All the lessons,
too,
right?
Yes.
She shared along the way.
Yes,
I'm like,
yes,
you go, girl. Okay, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
All right. So very good financial lessons here. Make sure you get a CPA and trust the people that you work with. And if something is amiss, talk about it. I mean, that's the beauty of emotional intelligence. Like, I have found that being able to address conflict.
Yes.
no matter what happens, I'm going in and I'm going to figure out what's going on.
Right.
And that really is helpful in every aspect of all the relationships that you have with people. But I just think when it comes to business and when something isn't quite right, mm-hmm. you know, there are things you need to know about your money, which is you need to know everything and how things work financially. And you need to manage the flow and inflow and outflow.
Right.
And the accountant is there to help you manage your money and file your taxes and get things done on time.
Exactly.
But really look at your money as an opportunity to really master it.
Right. Yeah.
Master the flow of money. Yes. I haven't reached that yet, but I sure can talk a good game.
That's all right.
Okay. So what's the big hiring mistake you've ever made? And also, well, we'll start with just you and then we'll kind of branch it out into the other things that you've heard from other business owners.
Okay.
How much did it cost you and how did you recover?
So I would say one of the hiring mistakes I made was really miscommunicating the pay. Mm. And it was because... my business owner and I had said two different things to the individual when we were interviewing them. And so when we were communicating the pay, it was not consistent between both my business partner and I. And that caused a huge problem because when she got paid what she got paid, it was like, well, this wasn't what I expected to be paid.
Yeah.
And so even though we both communicated a pay to her, she went with the pay that she was satisfied with, and that was what she was anticipating, and that was definitely our fault. And she ended up quitting.
Mm.
And so we had to, obviously, you know, there's costs in rehiring and training, and so it cost about, you know, between $500 to $1,000.
Yeah.
So that was great learning experience for me and my business partner. And we never made that mistake again.
That's a thing of business ownership.
Yes,
yeah, right.
Yes.
you learn lessons by fire.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
Deadline
yes,
and,
yes.
Oh my God, how much is this going to cost me? Whoa.
Right. Yes.
Turn around. Okay. And what do you see the mistakes that people make right now in hiring?
You know, becoming too desperate in hiring and not being as selective. I see that, you know, another mistake that I made that I see that other people make is they hire family and friends. And it's not, you know, a terrible thing to hire your family and friends. It's just that when you're hiring your family and friends, there's a bias there, if we're going to be honest. And you may not be as selective with them as you would be with someone you don't know. And that caused issues for me as well. I just think that one that I see is just kind of making sure that you're properly vetting your talent and not becoming so desperate that it's like, I'll just hire anybody just because I need to hire someone. Because it's a cost associated with hiring people. And I don't think that entrepreneurs always think about that cost because it might not be just direct right in your face, but you are spending your time to train them, the documentations that you need, all of that, there's a cost associated with it.
So. Yeah, there's so many decisions around that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
Good. Okay, and what do you struggle with the most with technology? And what do you see are critical things that entrepreneurs need to have for technology in managing their business?
So, it's, I always struggle with the technology, you know, topic because I'm a millennial and I'm expected to just really be this tech-savvy person. But to be honest, what I struggle with the most is the fact that technology is constantly changing.
Yeah.
And I cannot keep up. I mean, something as little as a cell phone. I literally have to change my cell phone every year because they're coming out with a new updated version and they're pushing my old version out. And I'm starting to have problems with that, like really fast. And I am like, wow, if it goes any faster, I don't know if I'm gonna make it to the finish line with technology. I might go back to the Stone Ages and just stay there. But it's changing and trying to keep up with the changes. I mean, just in software development, and I worked in IT for a while, and we were so behind on our software. I was like, but it takes time for, especially a large corporation like United Health Group, to try to keep up with that, you know? Yeah. I mean, and that it can be very expensive trying to keep up with technology. And I think
there's a lag time too between what's forced out into the world and people are buying and then what are, like, even if you look at PowerPoint presentations, you know, of all the technology that we have, people still are using PowerPoint presentations.
Right.
You know, they have not changed. Right. I go to presentations all the time. Same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, so it's weird,
yep.
You know, that unless you're at like an Apple, their annual meetings where they have the screen all around.
Oh, right,
you,
right, right.
Yeah, that's a little different.
That they make it their business to make sure they're keeping up.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is. It's people. Just because technology can evolve at the rate that it's evolving does not mean that people can adapt to it at the rate that technology is changing. And I think that, you know, entrepreneurs just struggle with trying to keep up because it's just not easy. It's not easy at all to keep up with that.
Well, and to figure out, too, what's like with my podcast, you know, same thing, like concerned about keeping up with technology.
Yeah.
And I've been doing my podcast since 2016. And there are millions more people in the marketplace now,
right?
You know, doing podcasts,
right?
And how they're doing it, but I think when it comes to anything technology, own your own stuff, like
yeah.
with your website. Don't give or with my podcast, there are other Feedburner or other places that can host my podcast, but I host it on my own site because I want control of the direction that it goes,
right.
or mm-hmm. the history that I put in it, you know, the database that
right.
I'm building with it. Yeah. So like iTunes, you know, how they've
yeah, I know.
Branched off.
Yep.
But we're not hurting. I mean, they're just, it's a sign that the podcast industry now is its own thing.
Right, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
separated out from the music.
Yep,
we're
exactly.
our own little beast.
Yes, yes, and growing very fast.
Yeah, that's right. So do you have some recommendations with technology or software with business owners that you see kind of consistently that would be helpful for business owners to know?
You know, hire people. You know, I always say, you know, your team should be smarter than you. Instead of you trying to keep up with technology, there are people who make it their business to keep up with technology, and hire them. Bring them on your team.
Yeah.
Don't be intimidated by their brilliance and their intelligence because it's only going to benefit your company. And so that's just something that I would definitely say to do. If you can't keep up, because it's vital that we keep up. I mean, for businesses, it's like a must. You got to keep up with what's changing, and you know, and hire someone to do that for you.
Well, that's the other thing, managing people in technology.
Yeah.
Also, when you don't know exactly what they're doing, or
right.
I've had a lot of clients who are doing their sites, they're having somebody else do it, which is fine, you know, important
right,
to do.
Right, yeah.
But they don't even know how to manage the project.
Yeah.
Because they're feeling, and so when it takes longer, they're like, well, I don't know, is there...
Yeah, and I mean, that's what's so good about putting processes in place. I feel like the most successful businesses that I've at least studied and researched are those who have processes.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't matter who leaves the company. You know, you look at McDonald's. They can hire anyone off the street.
Yeah.
And their process is so efficient.
Yeah.
That person will fall right in line and their burgers will taste just the same as they did with whoever else they had before. So I do believe in whatever you do, have a process around it so that the next person can come in and look at it and fall right in line.
Yeah. And with technology, having people check in with what they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
on
and documenting.
Yeah.
Document everything. It's so important because at that part, you don't know when that person's going to leave. You don't know when you may need to fire them. You need to document what they've been doing, their task, and so that the next person can come in and that'll help you with the training. You don't have to spend as much time training them if you have it documented.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, excellent. And what are you most concerned about and excited about for this upcoming year?
Well, I have a project that is going to be, I want to say, in full-fledged production next year, and that's within real estate. As I mentioned before, I'm partnering with the city of Minneapolis to work on developing some affordable housing. And that is will be probably breaking ground next year. And I'm hoping to have a few of those deals done next year. And so it's a big year for me. I've been ramping up this year for it. And I'm very, very excited about it.
Yeah, excellent. What are you most concerned about?
Well, you know, this is something that I want to be successful in, but it's something that is new territory for me.
Mm.
And so, you know, there's always that fear that comes along with something that's new. But, you know, with the emotional intelligence, I don't let fear take over. I know how to manage it now. So even, but I know how to recognize it as well, which, you know, sometimes I think before I would not have, you know, I'm like, oh, no, I can't fear anything. That's weakness, you know. Mm-hmm. But I can recognize it in myself, and that way I'm able to better manage it. And so.
So you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable, to
exactly.
name your feelings and to work your way through it.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Also, I know with new business, when we're venturing off on something new, we seem to not factor in the learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
What is it going to take for me to learn this?
Yes.
Put these deadlines in place, and we work to make them happen. It's important to have
right,
them happen,
right.
But we also can feel boxed in by our own parameters that mm-hmm. we put because we didn't see certain things that are coming up. So
that's a great point because that is definitely so true. And just with my business experience, that was where I would say, you know, made a lot of my mistakes was in kind of moving too fast, not really, you know, spending the time to put together a good team, to research, to, you know, get all my ducks in a row. With this one, I said, you know, I'm going to take out a full year and really learn the industry, do my networking, do my due diligence before I take on this project. Because I want to set it up for success. And I've learned that it's important to do that pre-work first.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Excellent. All right. Well, it's been a delight. Thank you so much
for being
here and sharing everything. It's been such a fun conversation
yes,
as well.
I've enjoyed it.
So I'll ask you back again and hear how all your real estate is
yes.
going. Yeah, over the time frame.
Yes, thank you.
All right. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. Yes. And when it's Monday, you know what we're doing. We're mentoring. So see you next week.